Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And today we're going to be set free. This is a really exciting subject matter. Freedom at last. For all of us. And it's a technique that I'm just learning about. And I am going to be interviewing on the show an expert who teaches this technique. And that's Barry Gordon. Barry.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, welcome back to the show. You've been on before, but in another identity as a feng shui master teacher.
Right, I was on with Rosalie, and we talked about our feng shui program at the Open Center.
Right, and this is not about feng shui. This is actually, maybe it is in a way, but it's about healing the body and the psyche.
Well, it actually is about feng shui, from my point of view, because the feng shui is really about using your environment to read about yourself, just like you use astrology to read about yourself, and then making changes in the environment to make changes in yourself. This is more direct.
But yeah, this is making changes within yourself, isn't it?
Well, the feng shui does also, actually.
Sure. But indirectly.
But indirectly by projecting out a problem onto the environment.
Right.
And here we're looking directly into ourselves to find our problems. And then we have a technique, a way of communicating with the subconscious mind that very easily and quickly changes our experience of that problem.
So that's how we get set free. This is called Be Set Free Fast, right?
Right. It was given that name by the inventor, Larry Nims. Dr. Nims is a clinical psychologist. He's sort of retired now. He's like 76. He was working with other energy psychology. This isn't a family of energy psychology, like EFT and TFT, EMDR, all those different acronym techniques.
So this is an offshoot of those.
I think it's the underlying principle that makes them work.
All right. And fast, too.
I do the other some of the other ones, you know.
Uh-huh.
What happened was that Dr. Nims was the first psychologist, actually, to study with Roger Callahan, who invented TFT.
Which is thought field therapy.
Thought field therapy, which kind of grew up simultaneously with EMDR, but wasn't, I guess, EMDR was developed at a naval hospital, has a little more official energy around it, I guess. But
let's just stop for a second and say that EMDR has to do with mostly with eye movements, but with any left right rhythm of that you establish.
Right, right.
And then
while you're going through the memory of a trauma.
Right, mm-hmm. And then TFT is also while you're in that mindset of a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the feeling of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that uses meridian tapping points.
That uses meridian tapping points, right. Tapping on the body at certain places.
Right.
And, in fact, an EFT is kind of a dilution of TFT down, a titration is a better word, down to only a few points that are just as effective and more simple to use than TFT.
It's less formal. TFT are formal algorithms or patterns of tapping, whereas I believe EFT is much looser, and as long as you use the points in general.
Yes, EFT, Gary Craig just took what Roger Callahan's work and brought it down to only 11 points and just one algorithm, really. Depending on the practitioner and the client, all these techniques are successful, you know?
Right. It's all intention, and it works with patterning to assist your intention.
It does. And if you notice, all the techniques do something to keep you in the present moment.
Uh-huh.
So that even though you're having a memory of the past, you're staying present.
Right.
And that really is clearly, to your mind, it's clearly a memory.
It's in the experience of it.
Yes.
whereas it's not just cerebral and it's not, you just don't necessarily intellectualize about it. It's more that you really need to feel it.
Yes, you feel it, but you're feeling it knowing that it's a feeling from the past. Your mind, even if you're kind. So I think it's important to notice that all the techniques have the same pattern, including the Be Set Free Fast.
So then why is this special? And I know you had said that you would talk about the science behind it as well.
Right. Well, of course, there's a couple aspects of the science. Well, one is just the whole process of trauma and how our brains function in trauma. And the other is how does our brain release patterns that it already has? So the patterns that are imprinted heavily into our brain from a trauma that's not really resolved.
And I think there's an understanding there about what trauma is, what our suffering is about, and it involves patterns.
It involves patterns, and part of the pattern is actually the resistance to feeling.
Right. Because if we could feel it, maybe we could feel it through.
Yes.
But this is where feelings have been blocked and sublimated into the body.
Yes, because we've been trained, culturally we've been trained to not feel. Especially what we call negative feelings, which of course are not really negative, they're just the body's natural response to any kind of danger.
Uh-huh.
Fear is the primary response to give you aliveness, and then it can go to fight or flight, anger, which is the power to take care of the situation, and flight, of course, would be the way to escape from it, to save yourself.
So we have these automatic responses that perhaps are shut down.
We have the automatic responses, and we know from studies that much of this information is stored in the amygdala and the hippocampus, especially the amygdala. And it's a small organ in the brain behind the eyes, and the amygdala is looking for patterns of sensory data coming in from all of your senses, not just your vision. And when it experiences a pattern that reminds it of a trauma, so it could be a smell that you don't even know occurred during a trauma, but your amygdala remembers, then it triggers a trauma response, thinking that you need to go into fight or flight right now because something bad is going to happen. And that happens 800 times faster than you can think. That's pretty fast.
Right. And so that's why we need to be set free fast. but we can't be set free fast enough if it's 800 times faster than we think.
Well, okay. So there were studies that were done, I think from like maybe 1998 to about 2002 or 3, trying to understand why do some therapists get better results than others. Because really, in any study, what do you call them? You know, studies where you look at lots of different studies, like mega studies, kind of. But there's another word for that. Meta studies that are done where different techniques are compared, including drugs. None of the psychological techniques and the drugs come out any better than any other one. It doesn't appear that there's a method that works better than any other method, including physical methods like drugs. But what was noticed was that certain practitioners get better results than other practitioners. And so there were studies done to see, well, why does that work? And in those studies, there was one process done with MRIs to see what was happening in the synapses when people were working with certain practitioners that were getting really good results. And it was discovered that if a person is triggered into a trauma pattern, when the synapses fire, they fire for a few milliseconds, they stop firing, and then they start firing again. And if new information comes into that few milliseconds in which they're not firing, they don't fire again. And that pattern is gone. And so somehow really good therapists were able to intervene in a way that information was interjected at just those milliseconds, and the pattern was gone.
Is there any understanding about how they do that?
Well, it seems as if they're able to keep the person in the present moment in some way while the trauma, while the synaptic patterns are firing, and somehow staying in that present moment stops the firing.
Are these practitioners particularly positive-minded and reassuring?
You know, that wasn't in the study that I read.
Okay. It would make sense, though.
It would make sense, though. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read some articles on this in Psychotherapy Networker a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't talk about that, but they definitely, you know, went through the research of the physiological research. And so Larry Nims, you know, was really the first psychologist to actually study with Callahan, and then he started doing EFT. And at one point, he was in a situation in which he wanted to, he noticed he was having a trauma response, and he wanted to work on it, but he didn't want to do the tapping in public. You know, like I've used it when I fly because it stops jet lag. And so, but I felt kind of funny, like tapping on my head and under my arms, you know, and all over my face, you know, sitting on the airplane next to somebody.
Yeah, there are times I do it on the subway.
Well, in New York, you can get away with anything. So he just visualized doing the pattern, you know, the tapping,
uh-huh.
And it worked fine. So he realized it was the intention, not the tapping.
Pretty good.
And he developed a set of instructions to the subconscious mind. I think he must have studied neuro-linguistic programming at some time, too, although this isn't exactly like that. But he developed this really complex and complete set of instructions to the subconscious mind about what to do whenever one notices there's a problem, has the intention to let it go, and then puts their will into it. And that is all in the set of instructions. One places a word that is a trigger word that will then trigger the instructions. It cues the subconscious mind to activate this two-and-a-half-page set of instructions that are already in there. You don't have to keep reading the instructions. Whenever one notices a problem, intends to let it go and change it.
So what I think I'm hearing is that you're programmed, let's say you've read and digested these 2.5 pages of instructions.
Actually, you don't try to digest them. You let your subconscious mind just absorb them without understanding them even.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you just go through them.
Right.
And you only have to do it once?
You only have to do it once because the subconscious mind never forgets anything.
And once you do it, and it doesn't forget anything, then any time that you want to use it again, you just refer to it.
You just have to say your trigger word.
And it can be any word that you decide is a trigger word for
yes,
you?
Yes, it can be any word that you decide that you want to use, like mine's heal it now, but which is a phrase. You can use a phrase, but actually it's better to just use the one word. And when you use the word in normal everyday language, your subconscious mind is pretty intelligent. It knows you're doing that. And when you're using it for this purpose, it knows because you've noticed the problem and set the intention you're changing it.
So first of all, the 2.5 pages, are they worked out over time, or can anyone come up with a set of instructions?
Well, I think anyone could come up with a set of instructions, but Larry started out, I think, in the mid-90s with it. He was at one of Gary Craig's big conferences. That was how I found him on Gary Craig's website, actually. And over the years, people working with Larry and Larry have, you know, kept, you know, modifying them and working out more and more effective instructions, and that's why it's gotten to be 2.5 pages and more confusing, actually.
Well, but as you say, you don't have to figure it out. You just read them.
Right, right. The principles that Larry has are one that once you read the instructions, your subconscious mind knows them, because really your subconscious mind does remember everything that's ever gone into your senses from the time of your birth on. We can't access it all, but it's all there.
But what about all the times that we've said to ourselves, you know, anytime we're hurting, we say, I don't like this. I want to get rid of it now. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily go away.
No, it doesn't, because your subconscious mind, since it remembers everything, just think of the billions of instructions it's had through your lifetime, many of them really contradictory. And so, and lots of them have, especially habitual patterns that cause pain, those have a lot of energy in them.
Well, also, there's survival mechanisms that retain those troubles for our own sense of survival.
Yes, there's a benefit in all of the, any pattern that we have has a benefit if it's continuing, you know.
Right, and so that has to be overrode in the healing technique. So somehow, you know, within these 2.5 pages, there are instructions to your brain to release all the old patterns.
Yes, there are instructions there to release all the old ones, including the dissociated ones. And in other words, patterns that you're not aware of.
Right, but does the brain automatically understand what you're referring to?
Yes, the subconscious mind knows everything that is connected to every pattern. I'll go a little deeper into how it works, I think. So you have the set of instructions, and you read them to yourself. You put whatever word you've chosen in, and then at some point you notice you have a problem. Actually, that's the hardest part of the process, noticing the problem.
Understanding that, you know, that relating to the problem even.
Yes, right, because, like, I'm sure everybody listening at some point, maybe you're in a relationship and the other person is doing something and you bring it up and they don't even know what they're doing. You know, they don't know what you're talking about, you know?
Right. And so we have to become aware. We're mostly unconscious.
We are. So mindfulness is really underlying every technique.
Right.
Right. Right. That's the first step.
Well, you know, what it is basically is the magic of having the right questions in life. And the smartest people in the world are not the people with the right answers, they're the people with the right questions.
That's true. And we also need helpers, you know. I mean, I've done this a lot, and this is pretty much a self-help technique. There's another step I want to tell you about. We'll get to that, because that's what you're talking about previously. But I've used this for years and years. Since I think I started in 2002, but I've discovered that, like any other technique or any other process in life, there are certain things we can do ourselves, but part of it, you really have to actually have somebody else helping you. So you have to have some kind of mentor pointing out your problems to you, because you can't see them yourself. You know? So you have to surrender to that.
So you have to find somebody who's the most critical of you.
Well, it helps to find a mentor who's critical but not judgmental.
Good, I like that.
Right? Right. Yeah. And so when you use the technique, you've read the instructions, you've got your word, you notice a problem, and then you just start saying your word, and you stay aware.
For how long? You have to keep repeating the word?
Well, sometimes just once. For example, when I first learned this, I'd gotten Larry's book, and I couldn't figure it out from his book, his first book. There's a better one out now, but actually his DVDs are better than the book. But so I called him and did a phone session with him. And my wife also did a session with him at that time, and a day later. And at that time, I just come from a training I had done, a feng shui training, and then I in the West Coast, and I was leaving in a couple of days to go to the East Coast to do the same training there. And so I did the session with Larry, and the first thing he works on is self-confidence, self-image. And so he he spent about 5 minutes with me working on self-confidence and self-image and said, oh, it's all done now. You're all fixed.
So that was your real problem.
Right. You know, and so I went, duh, what do you mean? It couldn't be. You know, and then we worked on some personal stuff, you know. I mean, actual little problems that I thought were problems, right? And so...
But let me just interject here. So that meant that he was able to ask the right questions to get you to reveal what the essence of your shortcomings are.
Well, in a way, except that what I found out from that when I, you know, talked to him more was that he figures that self-confidence and self-image were a problem for everybody, which is true because we're a shame-based culture.
Sure.
And that the technique would work a lot better if it could clear that as much as possible beforehand.
Good. Good.
So the next day my wife worked with him and did a session, and then during the session and right after it, she had two seizures, and she had epilepsy, but she very seldom had two seizures, and you know, usually they were days, like months or weeks or whatever apart, right? And so the next morning I was leaving for New York, and I always had someone there because of the epilepsy. We always had someone with her, but I get, like, you know, early in the morning I get up, I go to the van, and she was just kind of waking up, and I said goodbye, and I was really feeling bad about leaving, you know. I said, God, you know, she had two seizures, what's going, you know, she could be really bad shape, and maybe I should stay, maybe I shouldn't go. I was really anxious. I got into the van, I said my word, and I felt great. Just once. I just said it once. I just felt wonderful. And I never had, I never looked back.
Hmm.
And of course, you know, that night when I called back, she was fine. But that didn't matter, you know. I mean, I went to the training and I put the method into the training because it worked so good. So I started teaching it right away.
That's great. And you are still teaching it.
I'm still teaching it, yeah.
We have about 6 or 7 minutes left, so.
Oh, well,
I'm
let me explain one
sure.
more step in the, in the method then that answers a lot of your questions. So let's say that you're saying your word. Sometimes you say it once, sometimes you say it a number of times. Because there may be different layers that you're clearing, right? And sometimes you get stuck. And so when you get stuck, then you do what we call a fail-safe process, which is 12 statements that you make. And you clear each statement. The first one is, I want to be free of this problem. And that's always one of the issues. It doesn't. You consciously want to be free of the problem, but some part of you doesn't want to be free of the problem because it's been successful. You're still alive, you know.
Right. Yes,
so,
again.
So we clear that. We clear. We want to be free of the problem. Willing to be free of the problem. Giving yourself permission that it's okay. That you deserve it. That you're willing. That you're ready to let go of the benefits of it. You're not going to hold on to them, that you're ready to receive the positive benefits of being free of it, you know, and that you'll do whatever it takes to stay free.
Great.
And we also work with, from an opposite direction, we check to see if there's anything else left that might bring it back.
And how would you decipher that?
Well, we just say, there's still one or more problems that might make me keep or take back this problem, and then we check. So at that
point,
if I'm working in a session with someone, I use kinesiology.
Okay.
If I'm working on myself, I use self-kinesiology, like the ring test or a pendulum or, you know, something like that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we do need to kind of ask for guidance through our testing techniques to make sure that we're on key.
We do. We have a technique also in which we just ask our subconscious mind to give us a number that is a level of subjective discomfort in relation to the problem. And so we just say, subconscious mind, please give me a number from 0 to 10, where 10 would be the worst and 0 it's gone. That's the level of this problem, and it always gives a number.
Wow, good.
And then you can just work it down to 0.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It takes focus. You have to be really present, and that's what we talked about earlier. You have to be in the moment.
Yes, using the word, of course, keeps you in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it becomes a very deep meditation.
Well, and it's an opportunity on many levels then to connect with oneself.
Yeah, and oh, definitely, and I see miracles with it. I mean, that it kind of blows my mind every time someone, you know, well, especially when it's something physical, you know, like a bad back, or I had a woman with a perforated intestine and diverticulosis.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to do the whole story, but she called me because the doctor didn't really treat it right. And 3 days later, she was still in pain. She should have been in the hospital, you know. And she had a CAT scan, and they sent her home. And so I worked with her, and in half an hour, she was out of pain. And we also, just not knowing if it would work, really, I didn't do a placebo thing. I just, you know, I told her it might not work. We just worked on the perforated intestine to see if her subconscious mind would heal it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I told her to go back to the hospital because she could die, you know. She needed an operation. And she went back the next day because she wasn't in pain. Doctor wouldn't see her. She got really upset. They sent her to another doctor. He looked at the x-rays. He said, "My God, you should have been in the hospital 3 days ago. We have to do another CAT scan, and you might have to have an operation." They did the CAT scan, and they couldn't find anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. It's amazing how this has such a substantial benefit. And a while back, I saw that with using just EFT, working with blood samples before and after,
mm-hmm.
that they showed an immediate change in the blood.
Yeah.
Right after the process.
Right, right.
So it does work physically very powerfully.
All these energy psychology techniques really work.
That's great.
Right.
And now we're almost out of time. So how can I know you're in New York now to teach, but you're going to be teaching again this fall.
I am. I come to New York about 4 or 5 times a year for the Open Center. But the classes, this BCFRE Fast, I don't teach at the Open Center. There's a class November 20th.
Okay.
Saturday. That one will be an all-day class.
Good. That's great. And people can be set free and learn how to set others free.
They can.
That's great. And how can people reach you?
You know, the best way is Barry G, BARRYG, at MAC.com.
That's simple. That's very good.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you were able to inform us about such an amazing opportunity to help ourselves and other people who we can all help this way.
I'm glad I get to do it, you know, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. There is also a Be Set Free Fast website, you know, .com. That's the major one. I'm a authorized advanced trainer and coach on it, but you can get DVDs there and books and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what's that site?
That's BeSetFreeFast.com.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
So Barry Gordon, this has been another great opportunity to talk with you on the show.
And I hope we get to do it again.
And me too. Yeah. It's always wonderful to talk with you. And thanks so much for being a guest on
Energy
Stew.
Thank you, Peter.
Right. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.